Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1 this morning. Hebrews chapter 1. And last week we started looking at our third foundational truth of Christianity. So the first two, of course, were God Himself. That's foundational of foundational, isn't it? If there's no God, then there's no point in the rest of it. So we looked at God Himself, who He is, and that He exists as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And then the second foundational truth, of course, was God's Word. That's how we know that there's a God, because He wrote it down and told us so. And His beautiful Word is preserved by Him and is perfect. So we looked at that. And then last week we started our third one, which I'd said we were going to move on to number four, but I was wrong. Sorry, we have more to talk about with creation. We didn't talk about other stuff like angels and Satan and all that. But God is the creator, and therefore the creation story as given in Genesis 1 isn't just a story, it is what happened. God made everything. But we also need to talk about today God's providence as the creator, that God not only made everything, but God also sustains and maintains everything. And this is important as well, that we understand that as the creator, He's not just a passive creator. He didn't just make everything and then step back and say, I'm just going to let everything happen. He is an active, involved creator. Amen? In His creation. So look at Hebrews 1, verse 3. Mr. Scott, if you'd read that for us, and then we'll pray.
Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, which He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
Notice it says, upholding all things. So God keeps it together. Amen? We'll actually look at one more scripture before we pray. Mr. Zeus, if you could do Colossians 1:17. And if God holds it all together, and if God is actively involved, then that teaches us about His providence as well as the Creator. In other words, He's involved in His creation. He's involved in our lives. He's not a passive Creator. He is an involved Creator. Yes, Colossians 1:17. Yes, please.
And He before all things, and by whom all things consist.
So there, that word consist, we saw in Hebrews 1, upholding. God not only made everything, God keeps it running. God holds it together. This is important for us to understand in this third foundational truth, that our God knows everything, yes, can do anything, yes, but is actively involved in His creation, which teaches us about His providence. One of the reasons why we pray, isn't it? Because we believe He hears our prayers and He responds to them and answers, works miracles, because He's involved in His creation. So let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom as we continue looking at this important truth of You as the Creator. And I pray, Lord, that we would continue to grow and learn through this study. And it would help us, Lord, to be a testimony to those around us about You. So guide us in Your truth. Teach us today. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen. So God, we spent a lot of time last week understanding that God made man. And that's the only part of God's creation where God said, I'm going to make him in My image. And God, of course, is a Trinity. Man's a Trinity, right? Body, soul, and spirit. God has intelligence. Man has intelligence. God is a moral being. Man is a moral being. And we could go on and on. So we spent some time understanding that man was created in the image of God. But God made other beings as well. Besides the animals here on earth, He made other beings, which we find in Scripture. We don't find a lot about them, but we know He made them. Can anybody tell me there's four other groups of beings that God made other than man? What would be one of them? My?
Angels.
I saw you mouthing it. Angels. That's one. Amen? He made angels. And we're going to talk a little bit about the angels. What else?
Cherubim.
The cherubim. That's two. The seraphim, that's three. It's going to be the fourth one that's going to stump everybody. What's that?
Is it a four beast?
Wow. We need to have you in Sunday school more often, Mama. You're just going to have to stay up here in Rotorua. The four beasts that we read about in Revelations chapter 4 and 5. So those are four other groups. Now, he could have made others and didn't tell us about them, but these are the four that we know about from Scripture. The seraphim, the cherubim, the angels, and the four beasts. Now, the angels, we won't spend a lot of time on the angels, but the angels, we don't know how many there are because the Bible says, what? An innumerable company. In other words, he made so many that he's not even going to give us the number. It's innumerable. Amen? There's a lot of them, in other words. Are they powerful? Can anybody think of any examples of their power? Okay. That was the death angel, right? That killed all the firstborn. Can you think of any others? Michael, the archangel, fought against the devil. Brett? Yep, with the Gentile king Sennacherib. Remember, they sieged the Jews, and God interceded, and in one night, one angel, just one angel, killed, I think it was 185,000, but it's still a lot of people. When they got up the next morning, it says, behold, they were all dead. So we don't know how he killed them. We just know that one angel had the power to kill over 100,000 people in one night. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? We see other examples in Scripture of their power. And every time in the Bible when they appear, they always have wings and a halo, right? The wings are white with feathers. Has anybody ever seen that in the Scripture? It's not there, is it? How about the halo? Anybody ever seen the halo in the Scripture? It's not there. Every time that angels appear to man, they appear as a man, don't they? Every single time without fail, when angels appear to man in the Old Testament, they appear as a man. And God even tells us to be careful, let's look at it, Hebrews chapter 13, that they might even appear as a man in the church days, during our time, during the age of grace. Hebrews 13:2, Howard, if you could read that for us.
Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for hereby some have entertained angels unawares.
Unawares, which means you might have entertained a stranger, fed him a meal, sent him on his way, and it was an angel who didn't even know it, and still don't know it, till you get to heaven. Isn't that something? This is in God's word, amen, that you might entertain an angel unaware because they appear as men. They appear as humans. Now, they aren't. We don't know how they appear in heaven. We just know how they appear on earth. And that's it. They always appear as men. And they're very, as we've seen, they're very powerful. But what happened to them? Some of them. They fell. And we don't call them angels anymore after that, right? What do we call them? We call them devils. Now, the world calls them demons, but the word demon isn't in the Bible. But the word devils is in the Bible. So let's talk a little bit about the fallen angels, and then we'll talk about, was Satan an angel? Was he an angel? Or was he a cherubim? He was a cherubim, wasn't he? The anointed cherub that covereth. We'll read about that in Ezekiel 18. But first, let's talk about these angels that fell. We won't spend a lot of time on it, but it's important because they are active too in our lives. They, sadly, are Satan's helpers and they cause problems. So let's look at them, Psalm 78:49. Brent, if you'd read that for us.
He
So here we read about evil angels, right? The angels that didn't fall are not evil because they didn't fall. God created them to do His will. And then down in Matthew 8, Roy, if you could read 29 to 31. So notice it says the devils. And are you come to torment us before the time? Which is going to lead us to talk about hell and why God created hell. He did not originally create it for man, did he? He created it. Well, let's look at it. Matthew 25, 41. We'll just jump there now. Cash, if you could read that for us. He created hell not for man originally, but for the fallen angels. So does the devil have angels? Yes. The devil and his angels. So now we know who these devils are. They are the fallen angels that went with the devil. Revelation 12, we'll see it again, verses 7 to 9. Brad, if you could read that for us, Revelation 12, 7 to 9.
And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. And prevailed not, neither was there place found anywhere in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceived the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
Michael and his angels, and the dragon and his angels. So Michael is the archangel, so he has some authority over angels, and we see that the devil has his angels. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? And so the angels fell. We read about that in Revelation, and we also then find out that God also not only made these beings, but he made hell. That he originally created hell for the fallen, for the devil and his angels. He did not originally create hell for man, which means all of this happened prior to the fall, which we'll talk about next week. So let's talk just quickly about hell, if we could, because the Bible has a lot to say about hell, doesn't it? A lot to say. And anybody who tries to teach that there isn't a hell just doesn't believe the Bible. It's that simple. Hell is real. And you've heard people say this before, and it's true. Jesus mentioned hell more than he did heaven. So, you know, to try to explain it away, you're just following in the path of the cults, like the Jehovah's Witness who teach there's no hell. But anyway, let's talk about it. Why is there a hell? Well, originally it was created for the devil and his angels. And as we just read in Matthew 25, 41... And it's important that we understand that hell is eternal. Now, we don't want to believe this because it's so difficult for us to get our head around it. But hell is eternal. Hell is not a temporary thing like people want to teach. There's a new doctrine out called annihilationism. They always have these fancy names, don't they? And this doctrine teaches that hell is very temporary. In other words, when you're cast into hell, you burn up and it's over. Boom. So just tell the unsaved that. And you know what they're going to say? Well, so what? I can handle that. You know, a few seconds of pain and it's over. I'll just live like I want to live. I don't care about any of it. But if it's eternal, that's a whole different situation, isn't it? Why is it hard for us to get our heads around it? Because it's eternal. But let's look at it. Even in the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 12, let's look there, is where God began to tell us about it. Nathan, you want to read that? Daniel 12. I forgot to write the verse. Never mind. Don't read the whole chapter. There's a verse there that says everlasting content. So you want to scan and find that for us? Many of them sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Is it verse 2? Could you read that for us? So even in the Old Testament, we read about everlasting content, don't we? Everlasting, that's a long time. We get to the New Testament, and Jesus then begins to tell us about it. Matthew 18, we'll start there. Mr. Scott, if you could read verses 8 and 9 of Matthew 18. Most people, one of our greatest fears is losing a limb, isn't it? I mean, it's a scary thought. Why would Jesus then use it to teach us that hell's worse than that? As much as we fear that, he says, that's nothing compared to everlasting fire. And he mentions that over and over. Look over in chapter 25, verse 46. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. You cannot get away from the fact that hell is everlasting. You just cannot without having to get rid of a lot of scriptures, which, by the way, the Bible translators have tried. Howard, if you could read Mark 9, verses 43 and 44. Verse 44 in all the modern Bibles is gone. Just gone. I wonder why that would be. They want hell in the Bible. So they just cut it out. It's not that it wasn't in the manuscripts. They just don't want it there. So they removed it. And then we get to 2 Thessalonians 1:9. So it's even in the church epistles. Mr. Zeus, if you could read that for us. And so I'm saying all this to say God created hell to originally give a place for the fallen angels, which are now devils.
You shall be punished with everlasting destruction on the hill of the Lord and the glory of his power.
Everlasting destruction. So let's just take a few moments to talk about the devil. Where he came from. And then we'll talk about evil. Did God create evil? The age-old tough question, philosophical debate. Did God create evil? Yes or no? Thank you, Cash. Cash was emphatic about it. We already mentioned that God created everything. So he had to have created evil, and we'll see in the scriptures that he did. But first, let's talk about the devil quickly. Ezekiel chapter 18. So the devil was the anointed cherub that covereth, as we'll see here. Ezekiel 18. Roy, if you could read 12 to 17, that'll teach us about who the devil was. Ezekiel 18:12. Son of man. So I wrote down the wrong reference again. Maybe it's 28:12. It should start off, Son of Man, take up a lamentation. 17. Sorry, it's 28, not 18.
Sardis, Topaz, the diamond, the burial, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire,
So it says he was corrupted because of his beauty. And then let's go to Isaiah 14. Cash, if you could read 12 to 16. These two passages teach us a lot about the fall of Satan. 12 to 16 of Isaiah 14.
How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which fillest with the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee, and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth and the wolf that did shake kingdoms?
He had an eye problem. Not EYE, but the letter I. Didn't he? I will do this, I will do this, I will do this. So he fell because of his beauty, he fell because of pride. And we know that he fell before man fell, because he was there to tempt man, right? Don't worry, somebody's just trying to call me on my phone, which is busy. Probably my mother. Anyway, so if you look at John 8:44, the Bible teaches us that he fell, we don't know when. Because we don't read in the scriptures of the creation account about the seraphims and the cherubims and the angels, do we? So we don't know how long they had been around prior to God making the universe and the earth. God has always been, and God, of course, has been dwelling in his heaven. But we don't know how long prior to the creation of man, the devil was created and fell. We don't know. The Bible just doesn't tell us. But if you look at John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. So from the beginning of what? Don't know. His beginning, but he fell. And now he is active as our enemy, right? The devil. The Bible tells us this. He told Simon, Satan had desired to have you and to sift you as wheat. He's referred to in Ephesians 2 as the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in children of disobedience. 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's called the god of this world. 1 Peter 5:8, he says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. So he is our enemy. And he is going to try to cause us trouble. That's just the way it is. And he's got a lot of helpers. We don't know how many. Because one third of innumerable is still a lot. Right? And we know there's a lot of angels, because the Bible teaches that even, I don't know how this works, but it looks like every child has an angel. The Bible says they're ministering spirits sent forth to minister, them shall be heirs of salvation. So it looks like every Christian might have one. The Bible just doesn't say a lot about it. But the devil's our enemy, and hell was created for him and his angels. So, did God create evil? Yes, he did. Let's look at that quickly. And then I think we'll be done with creation. And next week then, well, that just flows right into the fall. Yes. Maybe. Don't know. The Bible just does not tell us about... it doesn't make a similar statement about unsaved people, whether or not they have a fallen angel. It doesn't say. It does say that saved people have an angel and that children do, but it doesn't tell us anything beyond that. But we know that they cause us trouble. And so let's talk about evil. So there's a lot of weird thoughts out there on evil. And a lot of them take away from God's omnipotence, don't they? Some people try to say, well, God didn't create evil. Evil just kind of happened. But how can that be if God made everything? And there is a verse in the scriptures that says that God actually made evil. Let's look at it, Isaiah 45:7. So God puts it to rest for us. Brad, if you could read that, Isaiah 45:7.
I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things.
Well, there it is. So why did God make evil? Well, we'll find out when we get to heaven, but if there were no evil, then there would be no forgiveness. There would be no long-suffering. There would be no grace. There would be no redemption. We wouldn't even understand these concepts if there wasn't evil, and yet God wants the world to understand Him. And so in the end, evil does bring God glory, because He has overcome it with His grace, His love, His mercy, at Calvary, of course. And we know it existed before man, so we can't blame it all on man, because the devil had already fallen, right? He had already had a pride problem, and his beauty and so forth. He wanted God's throne, so he fell prior to man being created, and therefore evil was already there. Lamentations 3:38 is another one. We'll look at that. Nathan, if you could read that for us, just so we can settle this question that, yes, he did it, but it, again, we'll get to heaven, we'll find out it was also to declare his glory, his person. So he ordained it for his own glory, so that the world can see what an amazing God we have. Amen? Would we really even understand the love of God if there wasn't evil? Would we really understand the mercy and the grace of God if there wasn't evil? And the answer is no, we wouldn't. And as man, we wouldn't be where we are, would we? We would have all just been like Adam, and that's not a bad thing, but that's not how God planned it. That's not how God wanted it to go. He wanted it to go the way it went, so that he could then show the world, God so loved the world. Amen? If there wasn't evil, that statement wouldn't mean much, would it? Because he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The greatest sacrifice ever given was because there was evil. And you and I are going to heaven because of that love. But Calvary wouldn't have been necessary if there wasn't evil. So I'm not explaining it as good as I could, I'm sure, because it's a tough question. But yes, God did create evil as well. If you look at Romans 9, verse 22... He says, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory? What if God, willing to show his wrath, showed his long suffering? God is just, which means evil has to be punished. God is loving and merciful and gracious, which means evil can be overcome through God himself, through his sacrifice. Also in Revelation 15, if you turn there. Verse 3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, good Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Thy judgments are made manifest. That's Revelation 15:4. There would be no judgments if there wasn't evil, would there? We wouldn't even understand the justice of God. There would be no necessity for a judgment if there wasn't evil. But they are made manifest. And just one quick verse in 1 Peter 1, verse 12, teaches us that the angels don't even understand redemption, because we don't find in scriptures where they had an opportunity to be redeemed, do we? They fell, God made hell for them. But there's no hint at God at then having an opportunity to be redeemed. That's only man. And it says here, 1 Peter 1:12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached a gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. The angels may be more powerful than we are, but they don't understand what we understand. And that is the redemption, the mercy, the grace, and the love of God. Because they have not, we're talking the non-fallen angels, they don't understand these concepts. They just do what they were made to do. They serve God. So God made everything. God's our creator. And that is a foundational truth that we must believe. And we talked a lot about that last week and today. Any questions? Next week we will. Now you'll see how this flows into the fall. The fallen angels, the devil, and then man's fall and what that meant. We'll talk about that next week, number four. Any questions, comments about God as our creator? Anything at all? Yes, sir. Exactly.
From what I know in the Bible, I trust God and I trust Jesus that whatever reason he did it, I trust why he did it. You know?
Everything he does,
the choice he decides to make.
Amen. All to the glory of God. And his creation of evil brings him glory in the end. But like the brother said, it's all, we can trust that God always does what is right and what is best. Because he's God. He gets to do what he wants to do. And we need to follow his rules. Amen. And for us, it's you need to be born again.